picture online, we can see it's if you cannot tell which part of yourself on the spectrum, then you can tell like, hey, how's my emotion? You can analyze your emotion, where if your emotion is like hateful and jealous and all this like regret, those are really fall into the part of negativity, where you think being grateful, you being happy, and you like you have some kind of goal to achieve, those can mostly fall into the positive spectrum. So you mentioned about those violence experience or the education that you had shaped that negativity and become main part of your mindset. That really makes sense, because then your emotion are fully full of being hateful or jealous or a conflict, right? Then could you share with us some of the maybe the strategies or the tools that you used during this 25 years of being the bodyguard, and then eventually change to who you are, who has more positivity and also are willing and to pass all those grateful and positive message to others?
Yeah, that actually is very recent. I was, during my 25 years, I would say at least halfway through those years, I started shifting and I started to be connected with my own culture, traditions, and heritage. And it was kind of a starting point of me coming out of that blackness, I guess you could say.
Okay, so it's recent.
Yeah, so
like darkness.
Yeah, and then once I got to the point of after near the end of 25 years, and I started to reflect on myself and realized, like, man, I'm just very isolated, and I was more or less by myself almost all the time. I didn't have any connection with my family.
Did you have colleagues?
I had a few. I would say one of the biggest one was probably Sagaj. And this is where I started learning about the state of anime and stuff. And it wasn't normal in me. It wasn't something that I was really looking for or anything. Like, I remember at one point, and this goes back about 5 years ago, and I came to the realization that, you know, here I am isolated and alone, and I don't even feel it.
Oh, you mean you didn't feel that you were,
no,
you didn't recognize you were,
no,
isolated,
I, you know, I
for
was
25
thinking,
years.
Yeah, and I was thinking like, man, I should feel lonely. I should feel sad. I should feel something.
Okay.
But I didn't.
So now from hindsight, you felt like you didn't recognize you were feeling that way, or you were just like, you totally don't have that kind of feeling, or
well,
you were used to it.
Yeah, I think I was so desensitized, and
okay.
I was just like, I was very robotic.
Okay, yeah, for 25 years, you never
yeah,
really thought
I was,
about it.
I was just like, I became to the point where I didn't have any human feelings.
Oh, interesting. Even though you were working and surrounded with this counselor who was very positive.
I was doing my best. I was trying my hardest, and it just felt like I was like trying to imitate but not really having any like feelings,
right,
or anything. And I knew it was good for, you know, especially what I seen she was doing and changing people and the world around her, and I thought, man, that's great. And you know, I was doing my best to like to get to those levels, but it wasn't really like kind of like real. It wasn't
like, I guess you were you were required to be alert all the time. Did you really have any physical fight with others and real violence happens while you're being the bodyguard?
Well, once you get to that kind of a stage and ability, you're able to stop all those before it even gets to that,
right, okay,
that stage. So, and that, I believe it came from a lot of the negative energy that you could, like,
yeah,
you can stop somebody before they even think about it. So, and I was pretty good at that.
So. It's a very positive story where a person who is full of negativity using this negative energy to do something that's good.
Yeah.
that's very unusual. I feel like, yeah, there are a lot of people who have, or each one of us have this part of like full of negativity, and we're trying to make it more positive, not necessarily just for others, it's also for our own experience and life experience, right? So that I definitely would advocate for people who haven't got out of from the zone can take some job like you did. At least you can use that negativity, you know, to do some good thing.
I think a lot of that came too from just the experience of when you're going through a lot of like near-death experiences and stuff.
Right.
It starts to build up your levels and tolerance for dopamine and adrenaline.
Right.
And you get so used to all that, it takes more and more time for you to feel alive.
I see. Yeah, so you were more robotic but very professional and did very good job. But then you mentioned later on, you start to realize that, wait, I have no feeling, and I didn't realize that I was isolated after you almost finishing that job. How did that happen? What makes you started to feel, wait, I start to feel that I have feeling, or I supposed to have feeling?
Well, it came towards near the end because my time with Counselor Fari was coming to an end. And so I was thinking and reflecting, and I was realizing, well, when that comes to an end, am I going to continue another 25 years and maybe become more robotic and more like disconnected from everything and everyone? And I remember in my travels, I ended up in a place where I could use an Uber. And I remember I had like a connection with the driver. I was just like talking, and then I realized, hey, this is something that gave me a connection with somebody I knew nobody, knew nothing about. Just a total stranger.
What kind of connection you mean?
I just started talking to the guy, and it was just like, man, this is crazy.
Oh, so you barely talked to others?
Yeah,
while
but,
you were
but
okay,
talking to this stranger that I knew nothing about, and we just started talking, and I thought, you know, this is something special that maybe it can cause a connection with humanity, with humans. And I remember I spoke with Counselor Fari and I told her, hey, there's Ubers coming to Canada. And I told her, I think I want to try and use it, and I'm going to use it as therapy.
By talking to Uber?
Yeah, well, talking to people.
Oh, talking to people, right.
So I decided, oh, I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go into that and I'm going to try use it as something therapeutic. To bring some humanity and bring some connection to human beings.
Right.
Because it was when I, in the past, when I was, I noticed I was looking at people and they weren't people anymore.
Okay.
They
yeah,
were just
I see.
Objects.
You mean like, I see.
Because you have to have that mentality when you're, you know, protecting somebody and As far as you're concerned, everybody's a threat.
I see. Everybody. That made me thought of like one movie that they said everyone else is just like an object or a rock or something like that. Yeah. And then you don't care about them. Yeah. You should not care about them. Mm-hmm. Because if you care about those rocks or random objects, then you're dead. Mm-hmm. So I guess that is a mindset where you were a bodyguard was holding, and that's why you could do a good job. But like, did you have holidays or vacations during that 25 years?
Well, that was the one thing that I realized, and this is what kind of like brought a human element to me.
Right.
And it was a connection that I had with my niece down in California. And I would go and see her 3 or 4 times a year.
During the holidays.
Yeah, and, you know, I just made it a time where this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to go and see this person and spend a lot of time. And during my traveling to go and visit my family, because they were down in California.
Mm.
I have a couple of brothers living down there. And I noticed after a while, like, my niece, because we had a very special connection, and I'd tell her like oral traditional history of our family and people and our teachings and everything. And I noticed that she didn't have any fear of me.
Oh, interesting.
Which was...
You expect that the fear come from her.
Well, I noticed that everybody else in my life was like,
oh, being scared.
Know, yeah, like, you know, I guess I would just look through them.
Wait, I just want to know that how did you notice or...
I noticed it because I believed when I was reflecting, and I realized there's only two people in the world. It felt like it anyway. There's only two people in the world that didn't have fear of me.
Mm.
And that was my niece.
Mm.
And that was Counselor Fari.
I see. Maybe that Uber driver as well.
Yeah. And other people that, you know, I guess where I was able to like take the armor off.
Because
it felt like every time, everywhere I would go, it was like I'd put armor on.
Right.
And I'd be on duty, and I'm like ready to explode and protect and defend. And
I see. So the attitude and the your body gesture and stuff, this kind of thing, make you pass the message to others that you're supposed to be very scary. You're supposed to be fearful.
I think it just comes with that kind of mindset, and
you're ready to fight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so I see. So. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then when I decided and I told Counselor Fari, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I want to do. And she was like, and I was, didn't know what she was going to say. And she said, I think that's a great idea.
I see.
I'm like, wow, okay, well, I guess I better try it. And so I did. And when I did, it was a process. Like, I remember one story that happened to me, and this was after almost a year of doing this. And I picked up a person, and I just started talking, like, you know, we're talking now, and just two human beings talking. And She suddenly talks to me and she says, you know, you're so nice and gentle and quiet, and, you know, all these positive words started coming out towards me. And then she started talking. She said, you know, I had another driver, and he was just like so mean, and he was swearing, and he was loud,
yeah,
and he was aggressive and scary.
Mm.
And I remembered, and I decided I'm gonna look, and I looked in the mirror, and I recognized her.
Oh, interesting. Who was her?
It was one of my first riders.
Oh, interesting.
And she didn't recognize me.
Yeah, I mean, like, that makes sense. But then I guess this start to make me think that people could have negative thoughts, but some of people are like you, just turning this inward. So you probably feel negative or robotic. But some people make it violent outside.
Well, I didn't know, but that's how I was.
You were told.
Well, I realized after, like I started reflecting and analyzing myself, and I realized after a while, man, I was probably one of the worst road ragers in the world.
Interesting.
And it's crazy because I was doing Uber.
Yeah.
And how can you do Uber and be a, like a raging, road raging,
yes,
crazy guy? And over the time, I started to realize, like, well, what's going on? What's difference between what's making the difference?
Yes.
Like, I have these two people that don't have any of that fear.
Yeah.
And what made me realize that I was this crazy road rager is I picked up somebody, and it was just a short ride, like a 7-minute ride, and somebody cut me off.
Okay.
And I just went ballistic. And, you know, I'm yelling and I'm screaming and I'm swearing at this person.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were being nice.
No, no, I was road raging on the guy that cut me off.
Okay, okay, but then...
So I'm yelling at this
right.
guy, and I always used to wonder, like, for a long time I'd pick up people and they're happy to go wherever they were going.
Yes.
But they would leave and they're, like, terrified.
I thought that the guest, one of your guests, were giving compliments that you were nice and gentle.
Well, that was after I changed.
Oh, that was after you
changed.
Yeah, okay,
because
so this
during
was...
the process, I realized, like, well, why is everybody leaving? Why are they so scared? Why are they so terrified? And I started looking out.
Yeah.
I started looking out on the roads and highways, and I was convinced they were seeing, like, murders and...
You have never thought about, like,
yeah,
it was because of you.
Yeah, and I'm just, like, looking. I became even more vigilant, looking out and trying to see what they saw.
Okay.
And then I realized after this trip, like, for 7 minutes straight, I realized, because I was just about finished, I realized, man, I'm still yelling and screaming at the guy that cut us off 7 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah.
And then it dawned on me and made me realize, like, oh, I was looking all over for all these murders and death and things that were freaking my riders out. And I realized I should have just looked in the mirror.
I think that's so insightful, where really explained how the mental process of each human being, mm-hmm. like ourselves, like when we are full of negativity, where we look at the world through this negative lens, right? So that's why you actually, at that time, was very scary to others, and then your guests lived, were scared, and then you thought, oh my God, there must be a scary environment.
Yeah. And so it made me realize, like, okay, well, I'm in this condition where I'm like, I got to find a way where there's people that don't have fear of me and they're, like, comfortable.
Yeah.
And it made me think, like, okay, I know there's one person that I don't see very often. That was my niece.
Yeah.
And I realized, well, I know when I'm with her, I'm probably not screaming and swearing and yelling and whatever.
Yes.
And so I realized, okay, well, maybe what I should do is I should, like, treat people like I treat my niece.
Yes.
And okay. I started to realize, well, maybe that's the key. Maybe that's a trick. Because I thought it might have been because of my swearing. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to not swear as much.
Mm.
And so I pretty much cut out all my swearing. But people were still...
scared.
Yeah.
You're like, why? I'm going to stop,
like, scared. What's going on? What's happening? And then one day I picked up a guy, and I didn't know it, but the guy was blind. And he's on the other side of the street. And so I called him. And he comes over and he gets in. And then I seen that he had a cane. I was like, oh, okay, he's blind. That's why he didn't come over. But we talked for a bit, and then finally he says, thank you for yelling at me.
Okay, interesting, because he was blind.
Yeah, and I was like, yelling at me. and then I was thinking back, well, why is he thinking I was yelling at him?
All right.
And then I remembered the scene. I remembered I called him, and we were right by near a school. And everybody looked over.
Oh, you had no idea it was because of you.
Yeah, I thought, well,
okay.
Why is everybody looking over here?
Yes, probably because the road is dangerous.
For sure, my driver or my rider heard me and came over. And
right.
I was wondering, like, well, why did everybody else stare at me? And then I realized, okay, I must have been like
loud.
Yelling really loud at over. And I realized, okay, it must be because of my voice too, the way that I'm projecting my voice. Because I used to do a lot of instructing. And one of the things that I really didn't like was repeating myself.
Right.
So I would roar. I would command. And, and I would use my voice as loud as I could.
Yeah.
So usually in wherever I was, everybody in the building heard what I said. But it would be once. So I didn't have to repeat it. So I guess that's what was happening. But I realized that I'm using a lot of negative energy to use that voice to come out.
Right.
So it would come out very angry.
So it wasn't just the volume, but it was also the negative emotion that passed that became the message.
Yeah.
So that's why people were scared. And then when you look at other people without looking at yourself, you are like, why other people are looking at me like that? Either they are just negative or scary, or the world is a very dangerous, scary place.
Yeah.
So that's why it's really hard to get out from that loop where without self-recognizing yourself. So I think basically you did all this. You started to recognizing and waking up after all these years of why you started to realize that you were negative or you were scary. You didn't even recognize that before, right? I think that's because you sounds like you really care about how people feel around you, right?
Well, it started to, and like I said, when I spoke to Counselor Farin, I said, you know, I want to have some humanity.
Also, that was your goal. So that's why you started to notice and care.
And as we started doing this whole program together, and that was the main objective of the program, Free Voices, was, you know, for the positivity and human growth of humanity and empowerment for human rights and justice.
Right.
And so it started to like really affect me and realize like, man, I gotta like somehow become what I'm talking about and who I'm talking with. And I give a lot of credit to Counselor Fari for her putting together our program.
Yes.
And it gave like steps in how to achieve them, associating with achievers, talking about human rights and justice, and just the positive areas in our lives that we can change ourselves.
Right.
We can change people around us. We can change the world, and it's a choice.
I see. I think that is really a good example to show people how important to be self-recognized. right? Because it's just like what we would say, waking up, where I think in Chinese called 觉醒, where means 觉醒 basically means wake up. But that's a whole big world. It's a big word to describe your life, kind of wake up from your life experience. Like you started to, and a lot of people talk about how to start to wake up, to basically self-recognizing yourself. I think there a lot of like videos you will see, you're watching this video which is like 10 minutes and you will be woken up. And how, obviously it's not that case, but your experience, your story, I think really explained the process of like starting to asking why this happened, why, how people feel about what kind of message I passed to people so that they behave this in this way, they react in this way. I went through the same experience or same process, I would say, different experiences. So then I started to realize, oh, this is how I should talk or be more respectful, to show my attitude, to show my thoughts, instead of just say whatever I want and do whatever I think and blame others that they didn't get me. Right. Interesting. So after that, you started to change your perspective and being more observant, I would say.
Yeah, it was great, because after about a year of doing that, when I spoke with Counselor Fari, and it was near the end, and I brought her to the hospital, and after 10 days she left the earth. And during that time, every day I would go in, and every day she would send me out. She would say, go do your Uber.
Okay, yeah. So because she wanted...
she's seen the change. She's seen, like, oh man, this is a good therapy. It's working. It's doing something. And so she encouraged me. She was like, yeah, go do your Uber. Because every day I would go and I would tell her what happened and who I saw, what I did. And yeah, she was very, very happy with what was
your
going
change,
on. Yeah,
your evolution.
Yeah, it was very special, and yeah.
Yeah, I really appreciate that you share those experiences, because not just help us to see the process of how you changed, and also reminds me the same process that worked for me with different kind of experiences. The point is to recognizing our own voices and our own behaviors, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the show, is there anything else that you wanted to cover it up, or else?
I still have quite a bit.
Yeah, maybe we will have you as our future guest, because I think your Uber story, your connection with other people, and the rich life experiences really, really could be very insightful to help with other people.
All right.
Thank you so much. And that's all the time we have for today. And a huge thanks to Shakhla, right? And do I pronounce it right?
Yeah, you can say Shakhla, or you can say Huai Inge.
Okay. Yeah. Huai Inge, for joining us and helping us. And if you'd like to learn more about our show, you can email us to callmenegotiator@gmail.com. And thank you so much for today. I'll see you next week.
All right. Yes, thank you.
There's a light bulb hanging on a wire, sucking up to someone just to stoke the fire, picking out the highlights of the scenery. Saw a little cloud and looked a little like me. I had my hands in the river, my feet back up on the bank, looked up to the Lord above and said, hey man, thanks. Sometimes I feel so good I gotta scream. She said, Gordy baby, I know exactly what you mean.